This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Thursday, September 5, 2024, the memorial of St. Teresa of Calcutta, by Father William Doc Holliday.
May the words of my mouth, meditations of all of our hearts, be accepted in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those words from the Gospel today. Well done, good and faithful servant. I point out regularly that it is not over for us. We have not done a good job until we hear those words from our Savior Jesus Christ when we breathe our last in this world. We want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. This parable that we read today, we read that frequently on saints' days, because saints have been faithful. And we get the gist. Oh, hear this one all the time. Yep, and everybody gets the fact that the man who gave the talents to his servants is obviously our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that, you know, we hear for that the talents are the blessings that God give you. That's a very general statement. We need to, I would submit, meditate frequently when we hear this passage on what has God given me. This is a parable about some fanciful guys back in the day who they received talent. Our Lord puts this into scripture because he wants us to think about what we are going to receive, what we have received from him, and what we do with it. And we should contemplate relatively frequently on what specifically, because everybody's is different. Everybody's did that whole thing. To some, he gave five talents. To some, he gave two. To some, he gave one. God is not an egalitarian. He does not use our parameters of fair. He gives as he wills. He knows what he's doing. He knows our frame. So, with that being said, we have to appreciate the fact that we should take stock occasionally. What has God given me? Am I, to use the term, investing it properly? He gives us these things to invest. He demands that we make a return on them. This is the reality. What are these talents that he gives us? Even that word kind of lends itself to your talents. What talents do I have? I could sing. I could do this. No. What are the talents? What are the blessings of God? Name it. Life. Life. There is a reason you exist. And it's not some philosophical, oh, what is the reason for my existence? What the reason for our existence is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. That's the reason we exist. We exist because the love within the Blessed Trinity in all its perfection became even more perfect, if you can use that word. It became even more perfect when God didn't keep it within the Trinity, but he put it out into creation. This is why he created us. That's why he created with the angels. To invest this love of the Trinity and to be loved back and to have a created order that is well ordered in love and charity, one for another, that works perfectly to his glory. This is why we exist. What are we doing with this life that God gave us? How many people would have a serious problem answering that question? What have I done with my life? What do I do? Oh, this, that, you know. And some people might think, oh, it's good because I got a good job and a big house and a big family. That's all temporal stuff. What have we done with this life that glorifies God? Remember, that's the reason we exist, to glorify God and enjoy him forever. How do you enjoy him forever? If you glorify him in this world, this is why we exist. So are we investing our life properly? In some way, is it glorifying God? And that should be a prominent fixture of our life. Our health. I always use myself as the example. For the first 45 years of my life, I went to the doctor every couple years for a mandatory physical from work. That was it. Then I hit my mid-40s, and I found myself in doctor's offices, this kind of doctor, this kind of doctor, this day, the next day, this guy poked and prodded all the time. Health is fleeting. Health is fleeting. We're all going to learn that lesson. We learn it subtly as we grow up, but then as you get older, you start to learn it very, very manifestly. What are we doing? While I am healthy, you know, you can be like me and just take it for granted for 45 years, but then he takes out, while I am healthy, am I glorifying God? Or does he have to pull a rug out from it or to have him glorify him even more by glorifying him when you're not healthy? So, you know, we got to take stock in this. Are we investing in the healthy days that our Lord gave? And even if we're not healthy, the good days, all the good days, because there are good days and there are bad days when you don't feel well. Are we doing what we should on the good days to glorify God? Our understanding of things, not to say this to puff you up, why are you sitting here on a Thursday afternoon? You're not obliged to be here on a Thursday afternoon. Why are you here? Because the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes to understand that to be here is a good thing. It's better than to be at lunch somewhere. It's better than to be hanging out. It's better to be taking a nap in the middle of the day. It's better to be here. Why do you understand this? Because the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes to this truth. How many, literally, billions of people out there don't understand the first? They look at you like a goofball because you're sitting in church. They're, even if they think of church, like, it's not Sunday. Why don't they understand that the more you are in the presence of God, the better off it is, that it pays dividends? Your understanding is a blessing from God. Are you using it wisely? You know, then, of course, the fortune part of it, stuff, things that are we investing the stuff that God has blessed us with, because he's let us hold it. He's lent it to us for the time we're down here. He's lent it to us. It's not ours. It's fleeting. When you leave, you will not, it sounds so cliche, but how true. You are not taking it with you. It's going to go to people who in a couple generations aren't even going to know your name. They're not going to know your name. If you held a gun to my head, I could not tell you my paternal great-grandfather's first name. Yeah, I could, because I went through this in my head a couple years ago. Oh yeah, okay, that's his name. I don't know my paternal great-grandmother's name. I do not know what the woman's first name was, and she's my great-grandmother. That's what I mean. And I don't have any animosity to my ancestors. It's just, we don't know things like that. Why? Because, that was my great-grandmother. It didn't really mean anything. I never met her. I actually got to meet one of my great-grandparents. That was kind of cool. But at the end of the day, your stuff is going to belong to somebody who doesn't even know who you are. Somebody going to be living in your house that you did all this stuff to, and you spent all this time, sweat, blood, money to get it fixed up. And somebody else is going to be living it who doesn't even know who you were. And they're probably going to change all the stuff that makes it so special to you. That's reality. Where are we going to put our priorities? And then not to mention the spiritual graces, actual grace, sanctifying grace, the means of grace, scripture, prayer. I hear that one a lot. Confession. Oh, my prayer life is what, oh my, I'm just not much of a Bible reader. Man, those are like the two most important things that God has given us to relate to him. And people, not infrequently, when people say that, I'm not much of a Bible reader. What do I hear in my head? I don't really want to listen to what God has to say, because that's the only way we know what God says. The only way is through his word. I just don't pay attention to it. I listen to homilies on Sunday. You're not going to get it there. It's so scratch the surface, if that. Scripture, prayer, this is the dialogue. You can't have one or the other. Well, I read the Bible a lot, but I don't pray too much, or vice versa. Prayer and the scriptures are dialogue with God. Scriptures are him talking to us. Prayer is us talking to him. Negate one of the two, and you're having a monologue. And we can't have that. Relationships don't work well with monologues. There's got to be communication. This is what we get in the means of grace. Hey, can you imagine getting to the judgment seat of God? Hey, what's up? You did this, you did that. Doesn't it say in my word that you're... Oh, I never was much of a Bible reader. I'm not thinking that's going to elicit a well done, good and faithful servant thing. Oh, I didn't get that. Why did you do this? Why didn't you do that? Why? Because I never got that. Well, did you ever ask for it? Well, no, because I know you're God. You don't know. The scriptures say you receive not because you ask not or you ask wrongly. What are we doing with these things that God gave us, especially that important? I think probably from a supernatural standpoint, the Eucharist. That kind of goes by what I said about the understanding. Why are you here today? Right. Well, going to Mass and, if you are properly disposed, receive divinity within yourself. Receive God, body, blood, soul, and divinity in yourself. This is an understanding thing, but it's investing in Christ's cross. Christ died on the cross so that you could receive the Eucharist. This is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood, which is shed for you. He went through those pains, literally and figuratively, to give us something. And judgment seat, how often did you receive the Eucharist? Well, when I went to church on Sundays, because I had to. When's the last time I received the Eucharist? Well, on Thursday afternoon. Well done, good and faithful servant. I don't say that to puff you up. But it gains dividends. This is what we have to understand that. We need to make good use of these things that God gave. We have to invest them, trade with them, as it says in the parable, and bear fruit through them. Making good use of the things that God gave us and cooperating with these graces the graces are a gift to us. And we need to use what he has given us because he knows us. He knows our proclivities, so he's going to give us he's never going to give you what you can't use or what you don't have the capacity to use. And he's not going to give you too much. He's not going to give you too little. God's not the egalitarian, as I said. He gives to each as he wills. But we need to correspond with these graces because we need to do good works because they merit an increase in grace. This is the whole talent. I invested your 5 talents. I gave you 5 talents more. If we invest his graces, we are going to receive more grace. This is what the Holy Spirit is telling us here. It's not just by faith alone. Okay. Have you ever noticed? We hear this passage so frequently. Have you ever noticed that it's not well done, good servant, or well done, faithful servant? It's well done, good and faithful servant. Kind of really pulls a rug right out of the Martin Luther nonsense about faith alone. Good and faithful. What's the good part? Works. Faith in and of itself is a work. But I mean, it makes it real explicit here. Good, having worked, and faithful, servant. Both of those things. We have to be good and faithful. We have so many examples of people who have today. Did the Latin Mass this morning. In the Latin Mass calendar, it's St. Lawrence Justinian. And in the new calendar, the one we do a Mass today is St. Teresa of Calcutta. Prime examples of different talents. How much, how little. St. Lawrence Justinian, he was born into a family that was uber pious. In his family, there are all kinds of saints. So, can you imagine living in a family? Oh, yeah, that was my aunt, Saint so-and-so. And oh, yeah, my great uncle, Saint so-and-so. There was all kind of saints in the man's family. All kind of clerics in his family. He hit his early 20s, and his uncle, the priest, said, hey, we're a devout family. You should be a cleric. Let's have you ordained to the diaconate, and the rest is history. He goes on to become the first Archbishop of Venice. That man received a lot of talents, and he invested them wisely, and he used them, and that's why he's St. Lawrence Justinian now. You got somebody else, Mother Teresa. It's antithetical. She was born into a poor family in Albania. Where is Albania? Most people couldn't find it on the map. It's very inconsequential. probably one of the poorest countries in Europe, Albania. And you know, that's a poor country. And where does she wind up? Calcutta, India. It's like, hey, I come from a poor country. I want to go somewhere even more poor. And she spends her whole life there. She received, in the grand scheme of things, the parable, St. Lawrence received 5 talents. She received 1. And she used it, and she's St. Teresa of Calcutta now. These are people who are our examples of using what God gave them to the benefit of God's glory, to the benefit of mankind, and now they're both saints. I told you before, I made mention about the whole, somebody's going to forget you. Why, how come it's in the old calendar, it's St. Lawrence in the old calendar, but it's St. Teresa of Calcutta? Because St. Lawrence got the boot from the calendar. He's not even in the calendar anymore. Well, yeah, appreciate the good work, St. Lawrence, but you're not in the calendar anymore. We're going to move you over for St. Teresa of Calcutta. Even the church will kick you to the curb after a while. What have you done for me lately, kind of thing. I was actually reading a commentary. It actually says, well, because he bears so little attention in the wider church, we took him out of the calendar. Man, just saying, it's got a beatific vision. He was a saint for hundreds of years. Okay, but things in this world are fleeting, even your sainthood. But guess what? He's still St. Lawrence Justinian. He still has the beatific vision. And he really could probably care less that he doesn't have a feast day anymore in the new calendar. Because why? Because he's perceiving the Blessed Trinity as it is. This is what we want. We should all strive to be saints, but even if we attain that, we should have it in the back of our mind. That in itself can even come and go. But the beatific vision remains for all eternity. This is what we aspire toward. Well done, good and faithful servant. It's kind of interesting. God really means that because touch on it today, but the negative side of that coin, when he looks at somebody, he doesn't say, oh, you wicked servant. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. Oh, you wicked and slothful servant. So it's exactly the same. He means what he says. Good and faithful, wicked and slothful. You're not just wicked. You were slothful in what I gave you. This is just the reality of Christ. I said before about the Eucharist, all of these things I've been saying, everything, the linchpin is the Eucharist. This is where we begin to be able to exude this charity that our Lord demands of us. To invest wisely. This is where we receive the investment in the Eucharist. St. Lawrence, one of his quotes, there is no prayer or good work so great, so pleasing to God, so useful to us as the Holy Mass. Being here more than you're obliged on Sunday and holy days of obligation, being here voluntarily is a huge start to investing in our Lord Jesus Christ and his cross. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.